I also would like to say publicly thank you to Brother Perry for all his work this week and installing some additional lighting in the courtyard. It was nice to step outside before the service and see all of that. And with all of the children always playing in that courtyard, it's comforting to have a lot more light out there. We appreciate his work. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in God's Word tonight. Are you happy to be in God's house?
Amen.
I'm glad to see you. Good Sunday evening attendance, despite the fact we know many are ill. And this is great. It's good to see the young people sitting up towards the front. And I'm excited about what the future holds, should the Lord tarry His coming. And so, Philippians chapter 4 tonight, verse number 1, we read, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Odias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." May we pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word tonight, may we have open hearts. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit would have liberty to minister to each one. Use me, I pray, as a vessel for your purpose. For we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight I want to bring you a study from God's Word entitled, "The Peaceable Mind." The Peaceable Mind. It's interesting how that the world today desires peace of mind. Because for the most part, we find that this world system does not produce a natural peace of mind, but rather it creates a turmoil in the mind. It creates a stress on the minds of people. Today, I mentioned in the morning service that in an article I read that cited statistics from the Department of Defense that the United States Army will this year have more enlisted personnel commit suicide than in any other year in the history of the Army. Now, folks, that is a clear indication of the fact that a great many people in our society today know very little of peace of mind. Now, I would say that it is an impossibility for a person to understand true peace in their mind until first they have peace with God. Because the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." At the time a peace is effected between us and God, we who were at enmity with God, we who were strangers and aliens, we are outcasts from the Lord, our sin has separated us from God, but God, by His substitutionary death and blood atonement on the cross of Calvary, effected a peace treaty once and forever that we might have peace with God. That is foundational to have a peaceable mind. A mind that is at rest in this life. Now, it's interesting as we approach this subject because all of the mystical religions that have come about in modern days have as their goal some kind of mental ascendancy that will lead you to an enlightened and peaceable place. People are yearning for it. Some people, if they cannot find it through religion, will seek it through drugs. If they cannot find it through those things, they might try it through meditation. The problem with that situation is that whenever you go home and whenever you come down, you're still in the situation that produced the anxiety and the stress to begin with. Your escapism has only given you a brief respite, and when you come down to reality, you discover that the reality that you've come down to is worse than the one that you escaped from for a moment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You understand what that's saying? A non-believer will never be able to comprehend spiritual truth from God's Word. They don't have the capacity for it because they do not have the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, referring in verse 15 to the believer, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, he's able to discern truth. He's able to understand that truth. And the Bible says in verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" That's a powerful question. It's a rhetorical question for which the answer is obvious, and obviously no one apart from Christ. But then Paul makes the statement, "But we have the mind of Christ." We have it. Now, how many of you remember when you first started trying to learn something out about computers? How many of you remember that? All right. I'm not so old that I can't remember all of those things. The truth is, I can remember kind of being intimidated by that. You know, kids are not intimidated at all by that stuff, man. They'll just point and click and they'll hit buttons, and it doesn't matter to them if it blows up. What do they care? They didn't pay for it, right? and sometimes you have a computer, but I think statistically most people that have a computer only use it to about 10% of its potential. How many of you have discovered that? All right, some of you are like me. I really make full use of that 10%. That's for sure. But, you know, they have a computer, but they don't know how to use it. Now, we have a computer in the back there. We paid, $2,000 or $3,000 for it. One of them, nobody knows how to use it, because the ones that helped us get it, that knew how to use it, aren't here anymore. And so now we have a $3,000 paperweight. What? Folks, listen. You know, you can have a computer that has the Bible on it. You can have a computer that lets you communicate and send a signal around the world with the gospel. You can have a computer that lets you do the most complex problems mathematically known to man. You can have a computer that on one little disk contains more information than the Library of Congress. And you can. And folks, if you don't know how to use it, what good is it? Huh? Is that a fair question? You know what Paul said to Corinthian believers? We have the mind of Christ. See, it's around here somewhere. You see, we might have it, But you know what I've discovered? It's like having that computer. If you don't know how to get anything out of it, what good is it to you? You understand? Now, we have the mind of Christ. Now, I wonder, where is it? Paul said we have it, so where is it? Is it right here between my ears? Huh? Is that where the mind of Christ is? No, I think not. That's the mind of Mark Chappell, and it's pretty feeble. I hold the mind of Christ in my hand. We have the mind of Christ. You see, he said, he that is spiritual, he's talking about that man that is in the Spirit. Okay? He has the Spirit of Christ, judgeth all things. You can read and understand the Word of God. Sometimes people tell me, oh, it's so hard to understand. No, you're so hard-headed that I don't understand. Okay? Because it's not all as difficult as most people make it out to be. If you have a good Webster's Dictionary, can I tell you something? This isn't all that difficult. It's really not. In fact, really, in readability studies, the King James Version of the Bible, at least several years ago, was written at about a fifth grade reading comprehension level. And sometimes people are psyched out because it says thee and thou. Big words like that. Okay? Now, okay, thee and thou, generally, do we have an idea what those mean? What do you suppose they mean? You or y'all, right? Thou. It could be if it's the plural of you, y'all. We have the mind of Christ. Now, as we go to Philippians chapter 4, the Bible talks about the mind. And I want to give you some thoughts tonight quickly on having a peaceable mind. As we go there, I want to just remind you in Philippians 2:5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Odius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same, what? Mind in the Lord. Number one, the peaceable mind is a reconciling mind. A reconciling mind. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. That as Paul is writing to this church that is enduring suffering and persecution, and Paul from prison is encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord, he's telling them this. There's two women in the church that aren't getting along very well, and they need to be reconciled together. And the only way that that's going to take place is as they both have the mind of Christ. Now, it goes on. It says, I beseech Odius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. When you have the mind of Christ, mark it down, you'll be able to have an advantage at reconciliation when conflicts arise. How many of you here ever have conflicts? Me either. No, I'm married to a believer, okay? And so, since Linda is a Christian, she has the capacity to discern spiritual things. She has the mind of Christ. Right? Yes, she does. And if we have a disagreement that comes between us, do you know how that can be reconciled? How it can be resolved? If we both go to that which reveals the mind of Christ, and we get His mind on that matter, and we agree that we'll let God be the conflict resolver, guess what? We don't even have to pay $150 an hour for that counsel. Right? I'm sure my insurance won't cover it, but the Holy Spirit of God will do a far better work of reconciliation than most non-believers would ever have a shot at. So, friends, when there was a conflict in the church, the command wasn't, go to counseling. You need to schedule an appointment with the apostle on Monday morning. You know, no, it wasn't, we're going to send the deacons to your house to have them deal with this. It was, if you both have the mind of Christ, then what's going to take place is that you won't have a feud anymore because you'll be in agreement on thus saith the Lord. I find that oftentimes husbands and wives, mamas and daddies will argue about how to deal with children. They'll argue about how to discipline children. Now, that's something that's really a stressful thing for a lot of households. How many of you have ever known anybody to cross swords about how to take care of the kids, how to discipline the kids? But if you decide, look, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to go to the Word of God. We're going to have the mind of Christ in this matter. And you both parties agree that we're going to let the mind of Christ as revealed from the Word of Christ be the conflict resolver, then we will also have a reconciling mind. We will be able to reconcile our hearts to the truth. And then with that believer who desires to be reconciled to the truth, we will also be reconciled. Instead of working against someone in the body of Christ, we should work together to have the mind of Christ. Now, folks, can I tell you something? Sometimes I might say stupid things. I've been known to do that once or twice in my life. And sometimes people could go to someone in church and say, what do you suppose he meant by that? Well, he doesn't know my mind, right? And maybe I didn't even know. Maybe I was out of my mind. Okay? But what is God's mind in that matter? Look, you can understand what God would have you to do in that matter, because if you took some umbrage or offense at something I said, what's the mind of Christ in that? How can you be reconciled to me if I have set you at enmity by something I have said? Well, man, you go to the Word of God, Matthew chapter 18. It spells it out right there. Go to your brother and tell him his fault between him and thee alone. You understand? And so, if I have the mind of Christ and I desire to be at peace, then what I'm going to be committed to is having a reconciling mind. It says here, to the warring factions in the church, they be of the same mind in the Lord. The same mind. Why? So that there would be peace in the body of Christ. So that they would be at peace one with the other. You see, the peaceable mind is a reconciling mind. Secondly, we find that the peaceable mind is a rejoicing mind. A rejoicing mind. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. I'll remind you that this was an epistle written to a church that was facing great danger, imminent and enduring persecution, that had been imprisoned, been beaten, been put to death, and the gospel was being challenged by the God of this world. And to that group of people, the apostle writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He underscored it. If I have the mind of Christ, I can be like Paul and Silas sitting in that prison house in Philippi, singing at midnight, though there be stripes on my back, rejoicing in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is not based upon my circumstances. It comes from the indwelling presence of God in my life. The Lord is the joy giver, and no man can take my joy from me. If I am emptied of joy, it is because I have chosen to be so. It's not because someone has forced me to be so. No man can take your joy from you. They were to rejoice in times of difficulty. It could only happen as they developed the mind of Christ. Now, Wednesday night, many of you were in the service, and I preached out of Romans chapter 8. And the Bible there tells us, and we know. Where is that knowledge? It's the mind, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How can I rejoice when I've lost my job, my car has been repossessed, and I'm going to have my home foreclosed upon? How can I have a spirit of rejoicing in a time such as that? It's only as I have the mind of Christ and I come to the Word of God and it says, here's something we know because God has affirmed it. He's given us His mind on this matter, that all things, rejoice in the Lord always, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. They could rejoice in the time of difficulty. They could have a positive attitude and outlook. Why? Because God has given them a definitive word on the fact that whatever it is that's taking place in their life, He's a sovereign God and He's orchestrating all these things to form us into the image of Jesus Christ. And armed with the mind of Christ, understanding that in my mind, if not in my body, I may rejoice in the Lord always. And I would tell you this, the person that truly rejoices in adversity has the peaceable mind. They're not just crying out of their anxiety, because there is a peace in knowing that God is in control. I don't know about you, but I can remember as a youngster driving with my parents through storms. I can remember one particular fall going hunting with my dad, and we got snowed in, and we were on a very snowy pass going through the mountains. And if my mother would have been at the wheel, I would have been terrified. In fact, I probably would have taken over at the age of 10. But you know what? My father was at the wheel. I started driving when I was 10. I did. And I probably logged more miles without a driver's license than some people do with one. But that's another story. But look, when my dad got behind that wheel, I always knew we're going to make it safe to the farm, because Dad was in control of the vehicle. Now, when I come to a place where I say, you know what? God is in control. Why is it then that I'm not at peace? Why is it then that I do not rejoice? Because I sometimes get victimized by the circumstances and I allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to steal the victory that is already mine. That spirit of victory for me. And I have a spirit of defeatism. And I have not the mind of Christ. And so I complain. And I whine because of my circumstances. But those that have the mind of Christ have the capacity to rejoice in time of difficulty. Jesus is the one that gives us joy. And when you have Christ as your life, as Paul did, he said to this church, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He understood what it meant to be at peace with a sovereign God. Thirdly, we find in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The peaceable mind is a reasonable mind. A reasonable mind. You say, what does that mean? Well, the word moderation means really gentleness. A spirit that is gentle, easy to be entreated. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, some people say, well, what it means is temperance. But in relationship to this context, as it deals with others, that means in my spirit, I am not going to be harsh. It means I'm going to deal with people gently. I find that the Lord, when speaking of His own temperament, said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And meekness is not weakness. But meekness in Christ was possessing all power, but using it for another's good. Possessing all power, but using it for another's benefit. Do I have the ability to rise up and give somebody a piece of my mind? I have the power to do that. But when I say, I could do this and I could lay them low with what I have to say, and yet I choose not to do it, and I show them only grace and kindness, I have demonstrated true biblical moderation. What I have found is that we very, very little get to see a temperate mind at work. People sometimes allow this world and its way to shape their thinking, and it causes them to deal harshly and abruptly with others. Now, we might say, well, that's just the way I am. How many of you have heard that one before? Now, I've said this before, I will probably say it again. That may be the way you are, but that's not the way you have to stay. So if you know that you don't have temperance in your spirit in dealing with others, that your moderation is not known unto all men, then God has already revealed to you an area that you need to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit of God, and you can have the mind of Christ on that. And it's up to you to turn that computer on and click that mouse and find out exactly what God would have you to do. Amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That means a spirit of gentleness that will be apparent to others that know us. Some people want to tell us that they have a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of temperance or moderation, but nobody ever gets a chance to see it. But the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Do you know what that tells us? That our lives are on display. Even as Paul said to the Corinthian believers, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And tonight I'm talking to a mother that deals harshly with her children, and God says, let your moderation be known to your children. The Lord is at hand. And there's a twofold interpretation of that, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Tonight I'm talking to a husband that's harsh with his words towards his wife, and she's going to work and telling the girls in the office that her husband is verbally abusive to her. I never heard of verbal abuse before about 10 years ago. But man, everybody wants to pull that out. And you know, the truth is, there are those that are abusive with the way they talk. They're intimidating. They're threatening. They're posturing. They're sharp-tongued. They're quick-witted. And they're never at a loss for something unkind to say. If you stuck a Bible in their nose and said, what must I do to be saved? They would be tongue-tied. But if you stole their parking spot at the mall, they would never run out of terrible things to say. I wonder, what do all men know about your spirit? Is it a reasonable mind? Is it a gentle mind? The peaceable mind will be reconciling. It'll be rejoicing. It'll be reasonable. And then, do you know what? It'll be ready, number four. It'll be ready. What do you mean? The Lord is at hand. Two ways of us seeing this. One is the Lord is with us. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. By the way, if no one was around to hear it, God was there. The Lord is on hand to hear it. Amen? He's here. But the Lord is at hand. He's soon coming. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to heaven with hatred in my heart towards someone. I want everything to be well between me and the Savior. And it is, positionally. But I know people that, you know, are laying on their deathbed and they're trying to write somebody out of their will because they're just so angry. Their mind is filled with hatred. They're not ready for the Lord to be there, to come into the presence of the Lord. There are things that we say, there are things that we do that we would never want the Lord to witness firsthand. This weekend, Linda and I took the opportunity to spend some quality moments talking to Sarah and Rebecca. And I was just being a dad, you know, and I was sharing some things with them. I said, listen, they said, what do you think about this? Some of our friends have Facebook, some have MySpace, things like this. And they don't. I said, understand that everyone in the world has the opportunity to see what is posted there. And that is a testimony that demonstrates to the world who you are. And you say, well, that, you know, it's just for fun, you know, and pictures of my vacation. Speaks volumes about you. Most people don't just post pictures of their vacation, you know that. Most of it's racy, most of it is worldly at very best. Very little of it is spiritual. And I said, if a person should ever have that, they should never put one thing there that they wouldn't be delighted to have their mother and father read, and that they wouldn't be honored and delighted to have the Savior read. Because He is at hand. And if God was at hand in reading your MySpace page or my Facebook page, and you would blush, you ought to delete that, cancel that subscription, and determine I'll never have it again. Why? Because it's a revelation of what your mind is thinking about. Most girls that have a Facebook or a MySpace, they're thinking about boys. Most boys that have a Facebook or a MySpace or Zanga or whatever the newest, you know, social networking sites are, it's girls. And normally it's about illicit things with girls. It's about what type of worldly music that they allow their mind to feast upon. Folks, when I go to be with the Lord, when you go to be with the Lord, don't you just want your mind to be so in sync with Him that it's just a seamless transition? I'm afraid altogether too often that when most Christians get to heaven, it's going to be culture shock because you've spent so little time living with the mind of Christ. I don't want to have any culture shock when I get up to heaven. I'm just saying, we need to have a ready mind, ready to meet the Lord at any time. Sometimes we're holding on to things that are toxic in our minds. And obviously we know that if we sow a thought, we reap an action. If we sow an action, we reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a lifestyle. If we sow a lifestyle, we reap a destiny. And friends, it begins in the mind. In the mind. In the mind. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in His sight, but all things are open and naked unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees what you're thinking. Sometimes we think, well, you know, some men, they want to boast, well, you know, I've whipped the battle in my mind. I don't look at any pornography. I had a counselor one time tell me that more than 80% of all the pornography that goes on occurs in the mind, because the theater of your mind is more vivid than any motion picture screen. The Lord is at hand, and He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you have a ready mind? You know, if you're ready to stand before the Lord, you know what I believe? That your mind is at peace with God. Because there's no confliction there. And then, lastly, the Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lastly, the peaceable mind is a resting mind that will rest in the providential care and in the sovereign oversight of an almighty God. Be careful. In other words, don't be anxious, filled with anxieties, worry that will wear you out. Can I tell you this? We all worry more than we should. How many of you know that's true? We all worry more than we should. When we were youngsters, we used to sing that song, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? How many of you remember singing that song in junior church when you were a youngster? All right, some of you are pretty intelligent there. But look, we all worry a little bit more often than we should, don't we? But the peaceable mind is a mind that says, I'm going to pillow my head and give this all over to the only one that has control of it anyway. And then I'm going to get some rest. There have been more than a few times in the last few weeks where I found myself staring at the ceiling at 3 o'clock in the morning. Found myself looking at the wall at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, Lord. And you know, the Spirit of God is just saying, hey son, I've got it all in hand. Why don't you just get some rest? I'll take care of it. All this worry and lack of sleep isn't doing anything but wear you out. I've got it in hand. I'll take care of it. You got any struggles today? Got some deep, maybe even grave concerns that are troubling your mind, causing you to have anything but a peaceable mind? Would you come to the Lord and see that He says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, that means the difficulty, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here is the result. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when we determined to do this, what we'll discover is this. As God is keeping our mind, we will feast on the menu that God has given us for thoughts. You know what that menu is? Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I just want to say this to you. That you don't know what you don't know. Did you hear me? You don't know what you don't know. Sometimes we think we know what we suspect. Or we think we know what we're afraid of. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sounds like a peaceable mind to me. That's what God wants you to have, friend. Not all troubled and in turmoil and filled with anxiety every moment. And yet what I've discovered is I know people whose minds are overwhelmed with 1,000 hypotheticals that may never come to pass. And they're not feeding off of the menu that God has given them. Number one on the menu. I mean, I go to Wendy's. I already know what I'm getting. I'll have a number 6, please, with the medium Coke. All right? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Amen. I'll have a number 6 with a Coke. You know, I go to McDonald's. I'll have a number 4. All right? Now, listen. Some of you need to order number 1 on God's value menu, and that's this. Whatsoever things are true. That's what's absolute. That is what is. Right? But some of you are so paranoid about what might be. Some of you are so carried away with what you suspect that you're overwhelmed with paranoia, which is really a tyrannical fear that's gripping your heart and causing you to be in a bondage. And God says, hey, listen, I've got a special on number 1 on this menu. And we're like, no, I'm going to have number 13. And that's not even on the menu. You hear me? Number 1 is whatsoever things are true. I don't know about you, but I want to have a mind that's at rest. And until I order off God's value menu number 1, and I believe what God says, and trust in what is true, not what might be, what I suspect, what hypothetically could occur, but I just rest in the sovereignty of Almighty God. Until I come to that place, my mind will not be at peace. It'll be at war. But the God of peace wants to be with you. He wants to rule in your hearts and minds. He wants to overshadow your heart and mind. He wants to keep it by Christ Jesus. The God of peace will give you the peace that passes all understanding, in which, by the way, He has another name, the Prince of Peace. And so, I wonder tonight, we who have the mind of Christ, is it apparent to all men? Is it even apparent to you? See, it's around here somewhere. What do we do with it? We have the mind of Christ. I know that. Is that in my sock drawer, honey? Oh, it's right here. We have it. The problem is, we don't know it because we don't read it. So, you having a problem at home? The peaceable mind is a reconciling mind. You having difficulties in life? The peaceable mind is a rejoicing mind. You having problems with your temper? The peaceable mind is a reasonable mind. You ready to meet the Lord? You ready for Him to stand and observe and witness, bear testament? The ready mind. And the one that is trusting the Lord through prayer is the resting mind. This is the peaceable mind, the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You that we have the mind of Christ. Thank You, God, that we can understand it and discern it. And that You said, He that is spiritual or saved judgeth all things, yet he Himself is judge of no man. Lord, thank You that we have the mind of Christ. Lord, tonight I pray for those that may be struggling in their minds, and there is a fearsome warfare being waged there. And I pray, Lord, that we might come to the place where we totally rest in You. We rejoice in You, and we refuse to be filled with anxiety.